All the way with Jesus, amen. I wouldn't have it any other way. As you are standing, please, if you're able, take your Bibles and turn them to Psalm 23. We're going to continue where we left off at last time in Psalms. Psalm 23, our theme for the year is Psalms for the Soul. And Psalm 23 is definitely one of those psalms that you want to keep and tuck it away in your heart, heart of hearts, and just to have it be a blessing. Had a chance to be at the memorial service yesterday for Brother Aaron's stepdad. They had Psalm 23 read there. Amen. So it is definitely one of those psalms that you want to have with you at all times of life. And it is an encouragement to have this psalm. Amen. And so we're looking at Psalm 23. We're going to read the verse in its entirety, verses 1 through 6. So if you're at Psalm 23, and if you're able, stand. If not, we definitely understand that. Amen. Everybody at Psalm 23, say amen. Amen. This is going to become like Psalm 1. It'll open up automatically after we have been here for several weeks automatically. Going to have us read together all the way down to verse number 6. Let's go all together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. As you see above that is annotated a psalm of David. David himself being a shepherd is telling you about his shepherd. Amen. And what an encouragement it is. Psalms 22, 23, and 24 all go together as the shepherd psalms. But we're focusing in on Psalm 23 here, where David is speaking of his Lord as his shepherd. Let me encourage you. You can't have a better shepherd than the Lord. A shepherd is just like a pastor. He's there to guide you and to lead you and to direct you. And he's much better than any earthly pastor you could ever have. He is the Lord. And I do trust that if you've not made him your shepherd, you'd make him your shepherd today. Let him guide you and shepherd you through this life and then usher you in to the next. Say, preacher, how do I do that? You've got to be one of his sheep. And that's by being born again into the family of God. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. Let's pray. Father, thank you once again for this glorious passage that's timeless. Lord, many down through the ages have come to love this psalm and come to know this psalm. Many have come to know it experientially. They know that you're their shepherd, and they have been with you through thick and thin. You've guided them. You've made them lie down. You've taken them in the green pastures. You have led them by the still waters. You have restored their soul. You've led them the paths of righteousness because of your name's sake. Many of us know this psalm to be true. Even though we walk through a valley of the shadow of death, we are fearing no evil because we know that you're with us. Well, we know that for many, you have prepared the table for them. Even in the presence of enemies, you've anointed their head. They have more than they could ever use because their cup is running over. Lord, we know that goodness and mercy not only follows us here, but also in glory. Lord, I pray there's one today that does not know the sincerity and the experience of having you as a shepherd. They would surrender their life to yours today and exchange their sin for your sacrifice. And they would truly embrace the love of God and understand the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd, who is one day, Lord, coming again. Help that man, that woman, that boy or girl to truly identify themselves with you as their shepherd, calling upon you to be saved. Help me now, Lord, to preach your word today. Lord, this is such a jewel of a passage. And I know I cannot even get close to developing it all, But I pray that, Holy Spirit, you might give me exactly what I need for the moment. Minister to the needs of the sheep of this congregation. Many are the needs. Lord, only the Holy Spirit of God can meet those needs. So minister, go where I can't go, do what I can't do, say what I can't say. Lord, when it's all said and done, may that one that's undecided choose Jesus Christ today as their shepherd and their Lord. And may that Christian that's struggling, Lord, in the balance, hanging on to you as their shepherd, truly rest solely upon you. And help us all to say it's been good to be in your house today. Protect us, guide us, lead us, bind Satan from this place and his demons. Lord, may we on purpose allow our attention to be captivated to a holy God. Because it's not in this preacher, but it's in the power of God that we rest and need. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Mrs. Dawson is going to come sing for us.
and I have true peace, salvation for every. Jesus came into my life and he made me complete. And now I'm not the same. He erased my shame. And hell is not a possibility. And there's a mansion waiting for me. I have true peace. Yes, you can have true peace.
Amen. Thank you, Mrs. Dawson. True peace. Amen. How many know what she's talking about? She's talking about true peace. Amen. Oh, yeah. That peace that only Jesus Christ can give. Amen. By making him Lord and Savior of your life. Amen. You know, that's what David is talking about here in Psalm 23 as well. He has that true peace. Amen. And that's the peace that passes all understanding. And we preached several messages from here, and we're going to try and preach a little bit more, amen, and try to tie down at least verse number 2. You say, preacher, my soul, it's not a whole lot there. Oh, man, you just talk to a sheep, amen, and talk about how the shepherd has impacted their life, and you'll see some great things here. Draw your attention to Psalm 23 once again. Now, again, how many have ever been a shepherd? You've had sheep and you have done some shepherding. Amen. Nobody's had any sheep. Well, I'm in the same boat as you. I've never shepherded sheep. I've been right across from sheep and have seen sheep and have kind of talked with the sheep. Amen. I should say talked to them. They didn't talk back to me. Amen. And fed the sheep and did a lot of things like that. So I kind of got a little bit of close hand knowledge on them, but I'm no shepherd by any means in that regard when it comes to physical animalistic sheep. But as I study this psalm out, I see more and more that the sheep that are out in the pasture are a lot like us as people. How many of y'all say, well, I'm like a sheep? Yeah, we won't admit it, amen, because of the character of sheep. But we are a lot like sheep, and today I'm going to give you some things I believe that will bear that to be true. Amen. We've talked about several things so far. We talked about in verse number 1, the position of David's shepherd, and we found out that he is the Lord. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. And so in his position of shepherd, the position of his shepherd is Lord. We found out who he is. But then we also talked about not just the position of the shepherd, but the possession of David's shepherd. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. What he is to David. David said, you know what? I possess him as my shepherd. By the way, it's just something good about having your own thing, isn't it? Amen. I mean, like their own house. Amen. Or your own apartment or your own car or your own clothes or your own whatever. It's just something good about being the owner of something. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. What he is to me, he says, he is mine and I am his, which means that he is the shepherd and by proxy, I am the sheep. Amen. By the way, if you say that today, the Lord is my shepherd, guess what? That makes you a sheep too. Amen. Amen. And so David says, you know what? The position of my shepherd is a high position. He's the Lord. The possession of his shepherd, he says, he's my shepherd and I'm his sheep. But then we looked at the provision of his shepherd. He says, I shall not want. The word want means to lack or have need of. And David said, you know what? When it comes down to this, I'm not going to have need of anything. Oh, I've got some desires, all right. I've got a lot of things that I would like to have my hands on. But you know what? When it all boils down to it, I really don't have any want. I don't have any lack of that which I need. And now, if you can identify with that, if you're an American, by the way, you should say amen on that, amen. The average American in this nation throws away more food than the average person eats around the globe. Did y'all know that? Amen. We as a nation are so prosperous that we throw away more food than many nations eat every day. And we throw it away just because we don't want it.
You know, we had 4th of July at our house yesterday, and the kids had their bread and their hamburgers and whatnots, and they were like, we don't want this, and we don't want this, and we don't, and we're going to throw this stuff in the trash. Amen. We waste more food than many nations eat all day long. You go down to some of these poverty-stricken countries like Chile and South America and some of these other areas like where Monique went down in Brazil. Go over to the Aboriginal tribes over in Australia. Many of those folks don't have anything. Hey, you don't even have to go that far. Just go down to Mexico across the border.
Amen.
And many of those folks don't have what we have. Why do you think they try to get across this border so much to get money? Amen. Because they don't have much. But David said, you know what, because of the position of my shepherd and because of the possession of my shepherd, the provisions of my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't have any lack whatsoever. Then he comes up to this next thought in verse number 2, the production of David's shepherd. He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. We're going to talk about that thought today, the production of his shepherd. Because David said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And we're going to see two thoughts here. The shepherd produces rest for the sheep, but then also the shepherd not only produces rest for the shepherd, but he produces refreshment. He says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. And I'm hoping we can get to both of those thoughts today. We might not, but amen. We're not going to fret about it. Amen. What we do get will be sufficient to get us through until the next time that we meet. Amen. So let's consider this first thought. First of all, when we look at the production of his shepherd, the shepherd produces rest for the sheep. And I told you last time that we looked at this. Why would the shepherd have to make the sheep to lie down where it's good for them? The word maketh there means to cause, to make, or to cause to lay, or to make to cause to lie down, or to make to lie down or rest or sit. If you've got children, you know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
How many of y'all had to make your children eat some vegetables at one time or another?
Yeah.
Amen. How many of y'all had to make your child take a nap at one time or another?
Yeah.
Amen. How many of you had to make your child brush their teeth at one time or another? Hopefully every day you've had to do that. Amen.
Yeah.
Or you had to make them put their shoes on the right feet. Amen. They come out and their shoes are the right's on the left and the left's on the right. And they're walking just like it's nobody's business. Amen. But they got them on backwards. And you say, well, you know, let's change those. Amen. You had to make them to learn to tie their shoes. You had to make them to do this. And oftentimes they don't want to do it. I don't like broccoli. Didn't actually, if you liked it, I asked you to eat it. Well, I don't like corn. Didn't actually, if you liked it, I told you to eat it. I don't like spinach. Didn't actually, if you like it, I told you to eat it. He says, he maketh me. He's going to cause to make this happen. And I brought up to your attention that this area that we're looking at here, you've got to really investigate the sheep. And in his book, The Shepherds, look at the 23rd Psalm, I mentioned Philip Keller described 4 things that prevent sheep from being able to lie down in the green pastures and get rest. And so the shepherd has to cause to make or to cause to make them rest or sit or to lay down. He's got to physically give them an atmosphere to make this happen. And I've got several quotes that I'm going to read from the book here because I'm not a shepherd. But from his book, he brings out some startling truths that so look like you and so look like me. And as we look at this, he said 4 things: fear, friction, food, and flies cause these sheep not to be able to lay down. You say, preacher, I'm all with you with the flies. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you tried to barbecue yesterday, I'm sure you had some flies if you were outside. Amen. Even if you were inside, somebody left the door, but you had some flies. Amen. Hey, if you barbecued yesterday and you smelled that good food, amen, you thought, I can't wait to get some of that barbecue. The kids nagged you until you got it off the grill. Amen. Or they got it right off the grill. Food, flies, friction, and fear. He said, prevents sheep from getting the rest that they need. And so the shepherd has to make them to lie down. And that's what David says here. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He's doing this to me. Let me read these here. They're fear, friction, food, and flies. Number one, the shepherd can give rest from fear. Now, in another book I was reading, it's called The Heart of the Shepherd. Stephen Chappell makes some comments on fear. And I tell you, this is novel. Let me read to you what he says about fear. Now, how many of y'all know sheep? Sheep are not aggressive animals. They don't have teeth. They don't come out. They're not hunters. And if you get close to sheep and you make a startling noise like, woo, they will run. They're skittish by nature. They're fearful by nature. You know, there's some people that are fearful by nature. They're skittish by nature. And as a sheep, there's some things and some comparisons here. Stephen Chappell said this in his book on shepherding. He says, if there are predators lurking around the pastures, the flock will be unsettled. They will sense the danger. He says, in these settings, sheep are physically unable to rest because worry consumes them. How many of y'all can't get any sleep because worry consumes you sometimes? Amen. If we're honest, at times we've been there. It is in these moments that the shepherd's presence reassures them and calms them. He goes on to say, is this not true in our lives? It is true. Sometimes we're worrying about a job promotion. We're worrying about a raise. We're worrying about if we're going to get the job. We're worrying about a test. We're worrying about a coworker. We're worrying about a situation that's been brewing at our jobs or a situation that's brewing at our homes. And we cannot rest. We can't sleep. Whatever it is, maybe 1,000 miles away, but I can't rest. I don't think the Wilbers rested too good with Stephanie being way over in Hungary. Amen. Why? That's my baby over there.
Yes, sir.
He goes on to say, we're prone to anxiety and restlessness. So many people struggle with the inability to find rest, both for the body and the soul. So many live lives of perpetual paranoia and anxiety. He goes on to say, if you can identify with this inner restlessness, then I have good news. God does not intend for you to lose sleep over the cares of this life. He desires to bring a confidence and a love that casts out all fear. He desires that you would find spiritual, emotional, and physical rest in his loving arms. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of what?
Fear.
But of what? But of power and of love and a sound mind. Now, why go to fear and anxiety and paranoia when I can have power and love and a sound mind? But you know, that's just the way sheep are.
Yes, sir.
And guess what we are? Sheep. Sheep. He goes on to say this. And I gave you this quote last week. Worry or fear is a wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles. Amen.
Amen.
I like the way the psalmist says it in Psalm 56:3. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. But you know, if you go over to Isaiah, Isaiah takes it one step further. Isaiah 12:2 says this, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also become my salvation. When he says the Lord Jehovah, he's saying, you know what? The Lord, my shepherd, Jehovah. He says, you know what? I don't have to be afraid. Let me ask you the question. What are you afraid of today? What's your fear? Some of you are afraid to start school back.
Amen.
G2's got camp. He doesn't know what's going to happen.
Amen.
G2's like, I'm going to camp. I'm going to be at without my mom and dad. I don't know who's going to be there. I don't know what I'm going to have.
Amen.
But I pulled some strings like my mother did me when I went to camp. I went to camp for my first time. I was going to be out of my mother's sight. My mother never told me that she had called ahead and talked to the man in charge. And she said, you're going on that camp. I want you to watch my boy the whole week and make sure nothing happens to him.
Amen.
Anything happens to him, something's going to happen to you when you get back.
Oh, that's good, Pastor. Amen.
Now, I'm out frolicking and having a good time like boys do, not brushing my teeth, not combing my hair back when I had hair.
Amen.
Walking around looking unkempt and like nobody cared, amen, didn't know that this man was watching me the whole time.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't until I got back home that my mother told me I had Bruce watching you.
Uh-oh.
That was the guy's name at camp, Bruce.
Wow.
Well, I found out that one of the youth pastors is going, that I got a hold of him. I said, look, I said, my son is going. I said, I want him in your room. I want you as his counselor, and you watch over him.
Amen.
And you take care of him. Why? I don't want to send my boy up there and have what the anxiety that these sheep have. And oh, what's going to happen to my boy? And what's going on? Hey, the shepherd is there to calm the fears, to calm the anxiety, to calm me down, to say, hey, look, it's okay. I've got somebody in place. I'm watching him. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down, even in the midst of fear. Even in the midst of fear. And so I made a phone call. I said, I don't have to worry about this. I'm just going to get somebody to look after him.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
And I gave him the inside scoop on G2.
Amen. Uh-oh.
So he's going to get tightened up this week.
Amen.
What am I saying here? He says one of the first things that the shepherd has to do is give an atmosphere of rest from fear. And fear can paralyze a sheep, and fear can make that sheep to do things that he necessarily would not do. How many times have you as a sheep done something that you wouldn't have done, but fear made you do it? We were lighting fireworks last night. And of course, when you light fireworks, there's an explosion that happens. And children normally do what? Run. And so because we did them on the sidewalk and the explosion went off, where do you think the children ran? Into the street. Now, they know that under normal circumstances, they should not run into the street. But the fear of the explosion caused them to go where they normally would not go until Daddy had to say, look, don't even think about going that way. When the next explosion happens, go this way. What am I saying? Fear makes us do things that normally we wouldn't do. Think about it. What's the last thing that you did out of fear? What's the last thing you did out of fear? Whether it's peer pressure, whether it's fear of what some man may say or some boy may say or some woman or some girl may say, fear of what a teacher may say, fear of what your boss may say, fear of what somebody would say. What's the last thing you did out of fear? See, David said, you know what? I'm a sheep. He's my shepherd. And sometimes he's got to make me to lie down. Sometimes he's got to provide an atmosphere of rest from fear. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Number two, not only was fear an issue, also friction. Now, I had to chuckle when I read this description about friction. What is friction, preacher? Friction is the rubbing of one body against another. How many of you ever walked on the carpet and you touched something that was metal? And you got the shock of your life? That's friction. It's the clashing between two persons or parties with opposed views. Some synonyms for friction can be conflict, disaccord, disharmony, dissent, disunion, disunity, division, discord, infighting, schism, strife, variance, war, or warfare. Can you imagine friction between sheep?
Wow.
Now, again, I'm not a shepherd.
Nope.
But from what I read about sheep and the friction, I see it plain as day.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes,
sir. Say, preacher, what type of friction are you talking about? Because the shepherd can give rest from friction.
Yes, sir.
In his book, The Heart of the Shepherd, Stephen Chappell makes this comment on friction. He says, sheep, much like people, are disposed to power struggles.
Wow, yes, sir.
We are familiar with the pecking order of the hen house. But sheep have their own type of pecking order. And usually the head of the pecking order, now don't laugh, man. The head of the pecking order is the oldest, largest female sheep. Now, I really didn't want to share this because I knew the ladies were going to get mad.
Uh-oh.
What you trying to say? Just what it said.
Yeah. Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
Normally, the head is of the pecking order, the oldest, largest female sheep. One of the other books that I read, it said that the sheep oftentimes will see another sheep doing things that they don't particularly want them to do. And so they will run up to them and butt them with their head. And they'll keep butting them until the other sheep doesn't get back up. Other times, if one of the sheep is grazing in the preferred area of that oldest sheep, that sheep will run over there and run them off of that grazing area just so they can graze on that particular area. There's some other things that they listed that these sheep do. He goes on to say this: nevertheless, during these power struggles or times of friction, the weaker sheep are often overtaken and wounded. It is impossible to rest during these times of hostility in the flock. Amazingly, when the shepherd is present, hostilities cease. Imagine that. The shepherd walks out on the scene, and that would-be female sheep that would butt that other female sheep has a little halo over her head. Me but her, I would perish the thought. I'm the best sheep you've got out here. Me do that and run them off of that grazing ground? I would never do such a thing. I'm your chief sheep, master. But he said when the shepherd comes out on the scene, a lot of that butting stops. A lot of that running off stops. A lot of that friction stops when the shepherd is there. Friction is resolved in the presence of the shepherd. No sheep would dare question or challenge the authority of the shepherd. As long as the flock senses the shepherd's presence, power struggles will not arise. You know what that tells me? That as long as we as sheep have our eyes on the chief shepherd, we're not going to have any friction. It's when we take our eyes off of the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, and begin to look at other sheep, then we got issues. Because I think that my fur is more fluffier than your fur. I think that my wool is a lot cleaner than your wool. I think that what I have is more important than what you have. What you have is a differing of views, and you think your view is more important than my view, and the only view that matters is the top view, the up view, Jesus Christ.
That's right, Pastor, that's right.
But you know, when we take our eyes off of Jesus Christ and begin to look at other sheep, every sheep has a problem.
Yes, sir, they do.
The sheep aren't going to help you at all. I've got to keep my focus on Almighty God, the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, and keep my focus on him, or I will have friction. And I will have fear. I know you can relate with that. Mm-hmm. It's not just in church, it's at home.
Yes, sir.
I can have friction at home. By the way, daddy's supposed to be in charge, but at the house, it's the same way.
Yes, sir.
If mama's going to be in charge, if she don't get in charge, she's going to butt somebody.
Amen.
And might as well butt you.
Oh, boy.
Perish the thought.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
That's not always that way, but sometimes it is. Mm-hmm. Kids are the same way. They got the little pecking order.
Yep.
If I'm the oldest kid, know me, I'm going to do the bucking. I'm going to butt you. I'm going to butt you. I'm going to butt you. And then mom and daddy come around, they got the little halo.
Oh, yeah.
Everything okay? It's fine.
Oh, yeah.
I just had to set the order. So they know who's boss. I'm the top of this food chain, buddy. Y'all don't like it? We want to watch what I want to watch. We're going to eat what I want to watch. You don't like what you want to watch? What I want to watch, that's what I thought.
Amen.
It's the same way with children.
That's right, Pastor Dawson. That's right.
Parents thought you have a little sheep that comes up and bucks the system. Well, we don't want to watch what you don't want to watch. Well, I'll tell mama what you did yesterday.
Uh-oh. Oh, here we go.
I'll tell mama what you said in the closed doors.
Amen.
Now we resort to blackmail.
There you go, Pastor. There you go. Praise the Lord.
And now I will silence these little lambs because I'm the top dog in this sheep flock.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, folks, it happens in the church. It happens at home. It happens at our jobs as well.
Yes, sir, it does. It does.
There's always that person at the job that's going to buck against you and butt against you and try to get you to do things their way. If you don't like it, I'm going to butt you and butt you and butt you. But wait a minute, when the chief shepherd steps out, here comes the boss. Turning that wrench. I'm the best worker there is. As soon as the boss goes back in, like, I'm not like what I was saying. Boss just stepped in the door and there they go.
Uh-huh.
You know what? We can have rest in spite of fear and rest in spite of friction.
We can, Pastor. We can.
How? By keeping our eyes on the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. It's not about what you want. It's not about what I want. It's about what he wants. Is he is the shepherd. He goes on to say this: are you experiencing friction in your life? Is there some power struggle either in your own heart or with another person? Most likely that power struggle is simply a product of, preacher, don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say that word. Pride.
Amen.
Pride.
Pride.
an inflated sense of self that happens when we lose sight of our shepherd. Pride, pride, and pride. He says this, in his presence and in the light of his power and grace, the friction will surely be resolved. Then he addresses the church. He says, so often entire church families are caught up in carnal agendas, selfish conflicts, and internal power struggles. Not only are these flocks forgetting the heart of the true authority, who is the shepherd, but they also are acknowledging that perhaps the shepherd has been locked out of the fold altogether. Yes, sir. I mean, y'all know the picture, the painting of Jesus Christ standing on the outside of the door knocking, trying to get in. That can be the picture of a heart, but it's the picture of the church. The church in Revelation had locked him out. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm on the outside. You locked me out. I have no authority. I have no jurisdiction in there. I am the chief shepherd, and you have locked me out of the fold altogether.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
Oftentimes, that's the way it is. Mm-hmm. We lock God out altogether.
Well, yes.
So that I can be the top dog.
Oh, yeah.
So I can be the top sheep. No, he said, the atrophy love to have the preeminence. He goes on to say this, where the shepherd is, there the sheep don't fight for power because they recognize it all belongs to him. There's no need to fight for power. He says, what I've observed here in my shepherding days is that fear can grip the flock, and the shepherd's got to produce rest from fear. But he also has to produce rest from this thing called friction, because there's some friction there. Go over to Galatians chapter number 5. Let me show you what I'm talking about here with this friction. Galatians chapter 5 is the area that we get the fruit of the Spirit from. And in Galatians chapter 5, notice what Paul warns the church at Galatia about. They were a church that tried to keep the law. And Paul mentions something to this church at Galatia in Galatians chapter number 5. Notice what he says starting in verse number 13. He says this, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. What is he saying? He said, look, you know what? What you need to do is make sure that you're not selfish, but put people before yourself. Was that acronym? Joy, Jesus first.
Yep.
Others second. Yourself when?
Last.
Hey, in the sheepfold, normally what is it? If I'm going to be the top dog, I'm going to come first.
Yes, sir.
Notice verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, if we could ever just get a hold of that in the church as sheep, we'd fare very well. But then he says, but, notice this, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. He says, you know what? If you do this, you're going to find out consuming each other, and each other is not what you ought to be consuming at all. You're in the wrong relationship with each other. By the way, I'm not your enemy. You're not my enemy. Husbands and wives are not enemies. Parents and children are not enemies. We're on the same team. We're fighting the same cause. We're fighting against the devil, fighting against the powers of evil. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness and high places. But he says, be careful. If you're not careful, you're going to devour and bite one another.
Amen.
And he said, that is what the sheep do at times, and they cannot get rest. And so the shepherd's got to make them lie down. He's got to make them get this position of rest, because he says, I got to free you up of this friction that's happening. I've got to be chief. I must increase in your life, and everything else must decrease. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I've got to be number one in this shepherd fold. And that's what David said. Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down. Well, not only does the shepherd give rest from fear and rest from friction, the shepherd can give rest for food. For food. Again, Steve Chappell makes this comment in regards to food. Interestingly, sheep cannot sleep if they're hungry. How many of y'all feel that way? Can't sleep if you're hungry. I mean, yeah, stomach start growling. Find yourself up getting midnight sandwiches and midnight snacks. Amen. He says there's something within sheep that will not allow them to rest if they have the munchies. That's what he said. He says, when it comes to the flock, the feeding of the sheep is the shepherd's responsibility. He provides the necessary food for their sustenance, and it is the provision of that food that allows the sheep to lie down in green pastures. He provides it for them, and they've got to lie down, and they've got to be free from the friction and free from the fear so that they can lie down for the food that he puts in front of them. By the way, when you come to the house of God, guess what? It's not to get full off of food, but spiritual food. And the same way it is for the shepherd to provide the period of rest from fear and friction. By the way, if they're afraid, they're not going to eat. Amen. If they're friction, they're not going to eat. Amen. You can't eat when there's friction around. And if you do eat, you surely won't enjoy it. How many of y'all been at the dinner table? There's been tension between husband and wife, or tension between child and parent, and you're sitting there eating. And you could just be eating rocks as far as you're concerned. You could have a mouthful of sand. It tastes so bad you can't savor the taste because it's terrible. But take away the fear. Take away the friction. Boy, that food tastes so good. I mean, it can be rocks. It can be sand, but it tastes like barbecue. You say, man, this is the best tasting sand I had all day. Come on, my soul. Man, you guys taste those rocks? Man, you taste that bone? That tastes good. But guess what? When that is there, they can't do it. Why? The fear of food. I can't rest. And the shepherd has got to get that. In Luke 4:4, Jesus answered him, saying, it's written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Job 28:13 said, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary of food. Stephen Chappell goes on to say, our good shepherd has given his word upon which we can feast. He provides the riches of his written promises to provide the strength as we need it. But let me tell you what the problem with that is. If the sheep have been led to believe that the shepherd is going to poison them, they still will not eat. If the shepherd comes out to feed them, but they won't come because they are afraid of this one that has put them in fear, this one that has caused all the friction, then I cannot go and I cannot be fed. I will not get the food because I'm afraid and there's friction and I won't eat. And that will give you some lean sheep. What's the correlation? You talk bad about the preacher. You talk bad about his wife. You talk bad about another Sunday school teacher. Guess what? That sheep's not going to be able to feed. They're going to come and sit down and look at their Sunday school teacher, and they can't feed because somebody else has put something in their ears that has made them afraid, that has caused some friction. And so now I can't feed from this teacher. I can't feed from this preacher. I can't feed from this person because these other sheep have poisoned me. You better take care of what you do. You better take care in what you say. I caught my kids one time saying something about me and my wife to the other. And I said, look, don't you ever say anything bad about me or your mother to your brother, your sister. Because you warp their thinking, you warp their mind against us. And they will not be able to do what we're having them to do. I said, if I ever catch you saying something like that again, you're not going to like it at all. Why? They're little children. And if they can put that in each other's mind, guess what? Then that starts the friction. Then that starts the fear. And now guess what? I can't feed for what mom and daddy's telling me to do. Better watch it. Hey, it's the same way at your job. Yeah. You talk about a coworker to somebody else, and guess what? Now you've already started the chain reaction. Yes, that coworker can't get from the boss or can't get from the supervisor or can't get from this or that because of what you said. Hey, let your yeas be yea and your nays be nay. Right, sometimes it's best just not to say anything. Amen. Why? Friction and fear. Because I got to feed. He said those are some of the top three things that will ruin the feeding of the sheep. The fear and the friction. But then number four, the shepherd can give rest from flies. Now, how many of y'all like flies? The fact of the matter is that we need flies. They eat a lot of the refuse. They eat a lot of the garbage. They eat a lot of stuff that you threw away. And they lay eggs, and the eggs eat that garbage. And they come and eat up the rest. They say, we didn't have flies, we'd be overrun. But these flies here are not the same type of flies that you and I are talking about. Amen. Now, I don't know if y'all are like me, but I'm the type that I despise flies so bad that if I catch a fly in the bathroom, I close the door.
Amen,
Master.
Amen.
I say, no, it's just me and you, Mr. Fly.
You
are not escaping. And I got the fly swatter, and I listen for the nyeh, nyeh. And if he don't start nyeh, nyeh, I start swatting everywhere to get him from where he's at. And I start swatting everywhere.
Yes, sir.
Get him off of his roof. Come out, Mr. Fly. Come out. It's just me and you. There's no way out. The door is closed. Come out. Come out wherever you are. And once I find him, I commence to tearing up the whole bathroom to get him. Knocking the towels down and over here and falling into the shower. Knowing I just had surgery on my arm, but I'm wearing him out and missing every time. After I get done, I finally got him. And then he's down. And I don't know if this ever happened to y'all. You gloat. Yes, Mr. Fly, I got you. Any last words before I step on you? And then the inevitable happens. As he's down on the ground, he gets up and flies away. I should have just stepped on him when I had him. Now I got to go through this whole process again. The next time when I get him, because the door is still closed, I don't grovel. I just step. You're out of here, buddy. I despise flies that bad. But the shepherd said, you know what? One thing that bothers the flies is that the shepherd, he says, if you're around sheep for any length of time, you notice that they are not too fond of flies. Flies literally drive sheep crazy. So it actually poses danger to their health. And this is disgusting. It says they pester them, annoy them, and sometimes even invade the nasal cavities to lay their eggs, corrupting the animal from the inside out. So these are just not normal flies. These are flies that can lay eggs and they can go in and they feed off of the animal and they eat the animal from the inside out if they're not careful. Now y'all know why I hated flies. Amen.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
That's gross. But he says they lay these eggs and they corrupt them. They say, in answer, they said, it must the same way sin poses a constant threat of danger in the life of the believer. We can get sin and get so close to it, and guess what? It comes from the inside out. He says there's a solution. In answer to the threat of flies, the shepherd will often apply ointments and medicines to the sheep so they will make sure that they're protected against this. And they're not consumed by the insects. The tender care and nurture protects the sheep and brings the ability to stay rested and healthy. What am I saying here? The shepherd then, to give them rest from the flies, has to give them prevention and protection. Prevention and protection. Say, preacher, what does that mean? That means that as a shepherd, my job is to give you prevention and protection. But guess what? You have to do the work. God's given us the Bible, and I've got to read the Word of God. I've got to give the Word of God. I've got to study the Word of God. But you've got to apply it, amen. The shepherd can get down there and apply the ointments and things like that. But guess what? That sheep can go down there and rub that stuff off of his nose. He can waddle over there. He can go in all the places where he ought not go to be infested by the sheep, the flies all over again. Why? Because he doesn't know what's good for him. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Ecclesiastes 10:1 says, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So the shepherd has to give rest from flies that would infect him and do harmful things to him. He says, Stephen Chappell says, the great shepherd desires to keep us unspotted from the world. He offers the ointment of his grace, the tender care of his promises, and the mercy of his shed blood to cleanse us, to purify us, and establish his righteousness in us. Why? The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us of all sin. We've got to have that. So these four enemies that cause the sheep not to get the rest that they need would be then fear, friction, food, and flies. And the shepherd has got to make them to lie down. He's got to make them to get the rest that they need. There's a fifth one that I'm going to bring up to us next week.
Amen.
That they didn't list, but I found it to be so true with sheep. I found to be so true. My question to you is, today is this. As you being the sheep, and as me being the sheep, what's our fear that we need rest from? Because he says, he maketh me to lie down. That's God's job, to make you lie down, to cause to make one to lie down, to cause to make one to be at rest. He maketh me to lie down in these green pastures. What is your fear that God's got to make you lie down? And then second of all, what is your friction that you find in your life as a sheep that is just causing you to be so unrest? You just can't, you're annoyed with this, you're pestered with this, it's constant, it's annoying you, it's eating at you. And so as a result of this fear and this friction, I cannot feed on the Word of God. When I try to get the Bible out, when I try to read, it's like a sounding brass, it's like a tinkling cymbal. I can't get anything from the Word of God. I can't hear God. I can't see God. I get up from the Word of God, I'm just as fearful, much as friction. I get no food. I cannot do anything, and the flies are laying eggs all on me and starting to eat me up. I'm so annoyed. I'm so pestered by everything. Everything annoys me. It's like a pesky fly. The kids annoy me. My husband annoys me. My wife annoys me. The boss annoys me. Church annoys me. Christians annoy me. Drivers annoy me. Everything just annoying me. What is it that makes you that way? You can't have rest like that. My Bible says, he maketh me to lie down. God knows your fear. God knows your friction. God knows that you need to feed. And he knows that if you don't get that, the flies are going to start laying eggs on you. And you're going to consume away. It's the chief shepherd's job to provide the protection and the prevention. And may I submit to you, my friend, that he's given it to you right here. He's given you the prevention. He's given you the protection. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I meek and lowly of heart. You shall find rest to your souls. Amen. Why suffer when the chief shepherd's job is to take away my fears, take away this friction, give me some food, and to get them flies away? Because if I keep my fear and if I keep my friction, I can't feed and the flies will come. That's God's job. David said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He forces me to do this. May I submit to you today that God wants to shepherd your life today from fear. He wants to shepherd your life today from friction. He wants to shepherd your life today from those flies. He wants to shepherd your life by giving you the food of the Word of God. Amen. Thy words were found, the psalmist said, and I did eat them. Let me ask you today, do you have one of those conditions going on as a sheep today? Don't be alarmed. All of us have something. All of us have something at one time or another. Fear, friction, food, flies. And the one that I'm going to talk about next week, I know we have that one. How about it today? Let me bring this to your attention as well. Each one of those sheep in the pasture has been bought there by the shepherd himself. He purchased them and he bought them. Amen. Jesus Christ, blood has been shed, and he purchased the church with his own blood. He died on the cross so that you and I could enter into his sheepfold and go in and out and find pastures and find that which we need. But we've got to, first of all, be saved. Yes, sir. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What does that mean? That means looking to the shepherd and saying, Lord, I want you to be my shepherd so that I will not want. I want you to make me to lie down in green pastures. I'm going to turn my back on what I know as sin in this world. And I'm going to turn my back on that fear and that friction. I'm going to take the food of the gospel that you've given me, your death, your burial, and your resurrection. And I'm going to eat it. I'm going to digest. I'm going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me of all sin. I'm going to look to Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd. I'm going to ask him to forgive me of my sin, to save me, repenting of my sin. Turning my back on the world. Turning my back on what I know. Turning my back on my sinful pride and my selfish pride. Turning my back and saying, Jesus, save me. You're the chief shepherd. I don't know where you're at today, but let me tell you this. You need to be saved today if you're not saved. You need to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Then if you are one of his, you can say, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures in spite of fear, in spite of friction, in spite of the flies. He's given me the food, the prevention, and the protection to keep that away. Amen. So that I can be healthy. So that I can be what he would have me to be. The chief shepherd loves you today. And if you're under the sound of my voice, you are a sheep. And you're either a lost sheep or you're a found sheep. You're one of Jesus Christ's sheep, or at the end of the road, he's going to cast you aside like the goat. But you're here, and so you're under the sound of my voice, and so you're a sheep. And if you're a lost sheep, he's trying to get you to get saved so that he can bring you in. But you know what? I can be a naughty sheep and run away. But you know what? I'm still belonging to the shepherd. No matter how far I may stray, I still have the shepherd's mark on me. Paul said, I bear my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter where I go, I'm his. Oh, I may stray away. I may go away. I may go over here. I may not do what I ought to do. I may not even look like my master's sheep, but at the end of the day, I still belong to him. I've got the mark of my master. He's branded me.
Amen.
I belong to him. Hey, Christian, let me give you some encouragement. I don't care where you go. I don't care what fear you have, what friction you have, how lean you may be on your food schedule, how bad the flies are at you, you still belong to the shepherd if you're saved. Oh, but he wants to clean you up today. Oh, he wants to clean you up of the fear. Oh, he wants to clean you up of the friction. Oh, he wants to feed you the wholesome word of God, and he wants to get the flies off of you.
Amen.
Because he knows you'll be annoyed and unproductive. Would you let him do it today? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Father, bless now these next moments of invitation as we consider the production of the sheep. He produces rest from fear, from friction, for our food, and from flies. Oh God, help us today. Every head bowed, every eye closed, and we're looking around. How many would be honest in here to say, preacher, you know what? If I died right now, today, I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm a child of God. The Lord is my shepherd. I know I'm born again. I can go to the day, the time when I trusted Christ as my Savior and repented of my sins. I know I'm saved. When every head bowed, every eye closed, you'd raise your hand saying, I know I'm saved. I know I'm a child of God. I can say it with assurance. Amen. Hands going up all over the place. You may put them down. How many would be honest before God and say, preacher, you know, there's never come a time in my life when I trusted Christ as Savior. There's never come a time when I faced my sin and recognized that my sin would be judged by God and take me to hell. And today I stand here, sit here, and I've not been saved, but I'm curious about it. I sure don't want to go to hell. I'd like to be saved. Would you pray for me today? Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across this room, you raise your hand. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'd go to heaven if I died right now. I'm not 100% sure. I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. Would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? You can slip it up and I'll acknowledge you. You can put it right back down. Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across this room. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it, preacher. Anyone like that at all? And lastly, rhetorical question. Is there some fear you need to deal with today? Is there some friction you need to deal with today? Is there perhaps some food that you can't get to today because of fear and friction? And maybe there's some flies today annoying you because the food is not there. And maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and do business with God. Say, God, deal with my heart. Help me to not be bothered by fear, friction, so that I can feed and get rid of these flies. My Lord, you see the hearts that have been exposed this morning. And Lord, you know every man, woman, boy, or girl that's here. And Lord, you know who is saved and who is not saved. You know who belongs to you as a sheep, and you their shepherd, and those that do not. The Holy Spirit of God, expose the need today. Allow that man, that woman, that boy, or girl to deal with that fear, that friction, that lack of food, and those flies. But Lord, maybe there's one that's not really belonging to you, and they're not saved. They can't say that Lord, you're their shepherd. Help that man, that woman, that boy or girl to trust you as Savior today, repenting of sin. And Lord, all across this auditorium, I know there are needs that I cannot meet,
Lord, the needs that you as a chief shepherd, you can meet. Lord, meet the need today that is here. Deal in our lives and our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around. Hymn of Invitation is going to play. And as Brother Wilbur sings, why don't you step out from where you're at and come and give God your heart. Come give him your need. Or maybe you say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Maybe you just want to come down and thank a holy God for meeting your needs.
And for faith,
I shall not want. He's provided everything that I've needed as a shepherd.
And
maybe you come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, thank you, God, for meeting my need. And I have no want.
But you
maybe you've got some fears, though. Maybe you come down to an old-fashioned altar and give God your fears today. Say, Lord, these are my fears. And oh, God, I can't get rest because of my fears. Maybe you come down to an old-fashioned altar and give God your friction. Say, Lord, this is the friction that I have. It seems to be a problem with this person or that person. Husband or wife or son or daughter. A co-worker, relative, a friend. Lord, there's some friction here. There's some fear here. Maybe it's the food aspect. Lord, I can't feed. There's some annoying flies, things that are annoying me, and I don't understand why they're annoying me, but they are. Oh, God wants to rid you of those flies. Rid you of that friction. Rid you of that fear. When the chief shepherd steps on the scene, those things go away. Oh, would you get a clear view of Jesus Christ today? The chief shepherd. Would you see him high and lifted up? The Lord. Would you see his position? Would you possess him today and make him your shepherd? Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want it, David said. What is it today? As you're all on the altar, Christians are praying. How about it today? Maybe you walked in not knowing that Jesus Christ was truly the shepherd, the lamb that was slain for you. And you say, preacher, I want to get saved today. Oh, would you step out from where you're at? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you're a man, we'll get a man and show you. If you're a woman, we'll get a woman and show you how you can be saved. Well, the Bible says, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. God loves you today. How about it? Would you like to be saved?
You can and
truly have the Lord as your shepherd. And truly say, I shall not
want.
Oh, there'll be times of fear, but none like the fear of hell. Oh, there'll be times of friction, but I'm still saved on my way to heaven. Oh, there may be some flies, but guess what? I'm still saved. On my way to heaven. How about it, Christian? How about it? Sir, how about it, man? Christians are still praying. We'll wait for you. What is it today that God has for you to do? The Lord is my shepherd. David said, I shall not want.
He
maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Is you're all on the altar of sacrifice late today? One more stanza and we'll close.
The altar of sacrifice laid, your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him.
Father, thank you once again for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Lord, thank you that you truly are my shepherd and the shepherd of many under the sound of my voice this morning. Lord, as a result of your position and our possession of you as Savior and we as sheep, Lord, you provided everything that we need and we shall not want. But Lord, there may be some today when it comes to the production, the rest needs to be produced in us. From whatever it may be, friction, flies, food. Lord, help us today to get what we need from you. Turn our eyes upon Jesus, looking full in his wonderful faith. The things of this earth shall grow strangely dim. Lord, that one hanging in the balance, help them not to leave today until they get it settled with thee, what they must do today. Deliver our loved ones that are traveling, Lord, to their destinations and back to us. Those like Nia, Steve Bruner, and others that are ill, Lord, we pray you'd raise them back up, giving them medical attention as is necessary. Joe Perkins to be added to them. And Lord, bring us back tonight as we embark upon the Bible Mad Gap, a game, and help us to have fun. But Lord, help us to make serious decisions today about these four things that affect physical sheep, but also us as spiritual sheep. Help us to be sure that we're doing our part to be healthy in the flock of God. Dismiss us with thy blessings. May I ask Brother Wilbert come and close us out.
Amen.
Folks, don't forget, back tonight, pray for those that are traveling. Amen. Brother Wilbert, you close us.